We would all like to be able to find everything we need in one place. For example, Walmart has fabric, medicines, furniture, electronics, clothes, the eye doctor, McDonald's, oil changes, pets, books, toys, plants, and now they even have groceries. You can do your banking, get your prescription, and sip some Starbucks without ever having to leave the grocery store. Even drugstores have toys and clothes and eggs and electronics. Electronics manufacturers give you discounts if you'll buy your computer, monitor, printer, scanner, digital camera, handheld, and big screen TV, all from the same company. Even better, you can get your bank account, life insurance, health insurance, auto insurance, homeowners insurance, mortgage investments, 401k, IRA, college savings account from the same financial provider. You can get your home phone, your cell phone, your high-speed internet access, and your cable television all from the same provider. There's got to be something inherent in our very nature to try to find everything that we want in one place. And everything we could ever need, of course, is available in one place. It's just not at Walmart or at Citibank or at Verizon. It's all in Christ. And Colossians 2:10, which is our main text this week, makes a very bold claim. It claims that you are complete in Christ. You personally have everything in Christ. Turn with me, Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians 2, let's read together verses 8 through 15 just to see the context. Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. In these verses, Paul shows us the magnificent position that we have in Christ. And he does this for a reason, which verse 8 introduces. See, verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ, for in him, and then he goes through this great explanation of our position in Christ. He doesn't want anyone to take them captive, philosophy, deception, tradition, and get them off track of Christ. This is another theological section that has a very practical goal. Now, we're not going to spend the time today to talk about what he means by philosophy and empty deception and tradition. Those will be very important questions. But the reason we're not going to talk about it now is because starting in verse 16, he's going to expand that and explain much more fully what he means after he gives this section on our position in Christ. So let's go on and look at verse 9, and we'll deal with verse 8 later when we get down to the last part of chapter 2. Verse 9 says, for in him, in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. We already talked about this when we looked at Colossians 1:19. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Christ is full deity in a body. He is fully God and fully man at the same time. Now, he says, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And then verse 10 says, and in him you have been made complete. Now, this word complete is the same word as the word fullness in verse 9. If you have a pen, you might want to circle those two words and draw a line connecting them to remind you that even if our English translation translates it with two different English words, it's the same Greek word behind that. In him all the fullness, full deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made full. You are complete in Christ. You are filled to the top with everything you will ever need. Now, I want us to spend the rest of our time today talking about that claim. That claim that you are actually complete. You have everything in Christ. I want to do that by looking at two questions. First of all, how is it possible? How is it possible that you could be complete in Christ? And how is it practical? How is it possible? That's such a fascinating question because we know full well that we are weak and rebellious sinners. How could weak and rebellious sinners really be complete? How can it be possible that people who are bound by earthly bodies and plagued by our sinful flesh, like you and I both are, how could we ever be complete? How can Paul say that? And if we look at our lives with all of our failures and frustrations and confusions and our doubts and our conflicts, words like messed up or ill, if we're really honest, those words sound like better descriptions of me than full, whole, complete. So how is it possible? Note carefully the phrase in verse 10. And in him you have been made complete. And look at verse 11. And in him you were circumcised, this removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, you were buried with him in baptism, and you were raised up with him. Verse 13, he made you alive together. This is the last part of the verse. He made you alive together with him. Look back at chapter 1, verse 27. This great mystery, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Look ahead at chapter 3, verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Listen to these verses, 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Think about the illustrations Jesus used. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the head, you are the body. I am the bread of life, and you must partake of me. I'm like the bridegroom, you're like the bride. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 and 8, if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 10, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. These verses and many others in the New Testament give us the answer to the question, how is it possible that I could be complete? And this answer is both very simple and incredibly complex. At salvation, you are brought into union with Jesus Christ. The New Testament says that you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Because you are brought into union with Christ, the result is you have everything that is Christ. Can you believe I just said that? I would never, none of us would ever say that except the New Testament says it so clearly. And so every spiritual blessing you have is because of this union. As one writer puts it, all the merit and infinite worth of Jesus Christ becomes the shared experience and possession of every believer because you are in Christ and he is in you. You are in union with Christ. Listen to that again. All the merit and infinite worth of Jesus Christ becomes the shared experience and possession of every believer. His righteousness is on your account. His inheritance is yours as well. His acceptance before the Father is yours. All the merit and infinite worth of Jesus Christ becomes the shared experience and possession of every believer. It's that simple. You are in union with Christ, so all that is Christ's is yours. But if you think about that for very long, you get brain freeze. It's too much to handle. We use the word mystical to refer to this. We say you are in a mystical union with Christ. And that word mystical doesn't mean it's weird. It doesn't mean it's not real. It means that it's a spiritual truth that's just, it's so great that it's beyond our comprehension. With our human limitations, we cannot fully grasp it. So it's both very simple to explain, and it's impossibly complex to completely understand. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. So all that is Christ is yours. That is union with Christ. Now, look back at chapter 2, verse 10. And in Him... Well, look at verse 9. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him you have been made complete. Does that make more sense now? How is it possible that a weak and rebellious person could be complete? It's because I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. And so all that is Christ is mine. That means I'm actually full. In my weakness, and in my sinfulness, and in my failures, and in my frustrations, I'm actually full. I have everything I need because of my union with Christ. Your union with Christ makes your life complete. Now, how is it practical that you are complete in Christ? And all we can do is just sample a few of the ways that union with Christ is practical. If we all got together and spent an entire day trying to think of every possible way that union with Christ is practical, we wouldn't think of them all. Our blessings in Christ, they're just too much to list. And so this sermon is frustrating for me for two reasons. One is we can only touch on union with Christ. We could spend weeks talking about union with Christ, and we just talked about it in 10 minutes. And now we're going to take 10 minutes and we're going to talk about the practical realities of what it means to be in union with Christ. And yet we could spend weeks and months talking about that. So realize we're just touching on these things. This is just a sampling of some how the reasons, the ways that union with Christ is practical. But think with me through some of these. Union with Christ means that you have complete acceptance in Christ. This means that there is no need for works to gain acceptance. There is no need for you to wonder if you have done enough to make God happy. That is the burden which so much of the world lives under. They are in religions that teach that you have to do certain works to gain God's acceptance, to gain forgiveness, to gain salvation. And there's this one question that you can never get away from. How do I know if I've done enough? But your acceptance with God is not based on what you've done. You are accepted with God because Christ took all of your sins. He died on the cross. He is perfectly righteous and perfectly accepted before God. You are in Christ, so you are accepted too. There is no need for you to wonder if you've done enough to make God happy. Christ did it all for you, and you are in Christ. You have complete acceptance in Christ. So there's no need for works to gain acceptance. Secondly, you have complete security in Christ. Why don't you turn with me to John 10? It's worth just looking at these verses. John 10. Look at verse 27 with me. John 10:27. My sheep, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. I and the Father are one. You see that? If you are one of Christ's sheep, if you have eternal life, you have complete security. You have a perfect guarantee of eternal life because you are in union with Christ, and he will exist in glory forever. So you will be with him there forever. Guaranteed. Nothing can change it. You are in Christ, and nothing can pluck you out of his hand. You have complete security in Christ. Thirdly, you have complete peace in Christ. And I could take this one a lot of different directions, and this could be applied so many different ways, but do you ever fear the next month's bills? Do you ever fear where the provision will come from? Do you fear what might happen to yourself or to a loved one? Fearing the future and what's coming that you don't know about? What might happen? Do you know you have complete peace in Christ? You may not be living in the reality of it, but you have complete peace in Christ. You are in union with Christ, and he has all things. You will always have everything you need. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, why is God for you? It's because he's for Christ, and you are in Christ. Listen to the next verse. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he, God, not also with him, Christ? How will God not also with Christ freely give us all things? If God was willing to give Christ to die for you, will he not freely give you all things with Christ? If in God's perfect wisdom you need it, you have it. Guaranteed. Because you are in Christ. And you know those bad circumstances that might happen, that might be out there in the future? If they do happen, God is dealing with you in perfect love and fatherly tenderness and eternally perfect wisdom because you are in Christ. And whatever is happening, no matter how dark it appears, it is best. It is right. It is good. It is from the Father's tender, loving hand. So there's no need to fear. There's no need to worry when you are in Christ. You have complete peace in Christ. You also have complete provision for godliness. Complete acceptance, complete security, complete peace, complete provision for godliness. 2 Peter 1:3 says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness is in the true knowledge of him. And how do we truly know him? We know him in Christ. Christ is the perfect revelation of God. Jesus said, if you've known me, you've known the Father. So you have everything pertaining to life and godliness in Christ, through the knowledge of Christ. You don't need the traditions or rules of men. Pray this prayer so many times a day and you'll be godly, or whatever. You don't need the latest psychological theories. And I'll just give you one example of this. Larry Crabb, he's a well-known Christian psychologist, and in his book Inside Out, he says, Christians are realizing that their version of church involvement, time in the Word, commitment to do right, claiming God's promises, and surrendering to God's power is somehow not getting at the core troubles of their hearts. Does that bother you? Church involvement, time in the Word, commitment to do right, claiming God's promises, and surrendering to God's power is somehow not getting the core troubles of our hearts. And then he says this, in our heart, we know that our latest effort to follow Christ has left deep issues in our soul unaddressed. Now, I wish I could say that what he means by that is, our efforts have been faulty and hypocritical and, insincere, and so that's why there are deep issues unaddressed. But that's not what he means. He means just pursuing Christ ends up not good enough. Just being in the Word and going to church and surrendering God's power and claiming God's promises isn't good enough to really meet the deep issues in your heart. That's what he means. And he has a solution. He'll go on to say that what you need to do is take a deep look inside. He'll say that deep look inside is intentionally designed to cause confusion. And he'll tell you that you're especially supposed to dig down until you get to your relationship with your parents. And you will eventually figure out that you are a victim of your parents. We are all actually victims of our parents, according to Dr. Crabb. And that is apparently the deep issue in your soul that Christ can't address. That is baloney. You may have been greatly hurt by your parents, but you still have complete provision for peace, for acceptance, and for godliness in Christ. You don't need Christ plus Larry Crabb's parental victim theory, or whatever we could call it. You have everything you need. All the provision for godliness is in Christ. You've got it. Then you have complete forgiveness in Christ. You know, if you have refused to confess, refused to repent of a sin, refused to agree with God, you should feel the weight of that pressing upon you. But many Christians live in guilt and paralysis over sins that have been confessed and repented of, turned from, but they feel as if they owe something to God. They have to make up for their sin. They feel like despite the confession and repentance, God is angry at them for their sin. They live under a perception of this angry God that they're always trying to make happy. Now, our sin does provoke just wrath from God. But Christ took our sin and all of its punishment, including the wrath. You are not under God's wrath. You are not forgiven because you appeased the wrath of God. You are forgiven because Christ did. He perfectly paid for your sin, dealing with the cause of the wrath. You have complete forgiveness in Christ. So rejoice in that. Stop living under a weight of guilt, as if Christ's death wasn't enough for your sin, and you've got to kind of work that sin off. You've got to kind of pay God back for what you did. Christ's death was sufficient. It did pay for your sins, and you can't pay for them anymore. So live in the reality of complete forgiveness. And then you have complete satisfaction in Christ. And again, we see there's a great gap between what we actually possess and what we live in the reality of, because you possess complete satisfaction in Christ, though you may well, and I may well, not live in the reality of it. Each of us is full of desires and lusts for pleasure, for fame, for thrills, for feelings and sensation, for power, for acceptance, for toys and stuff, whatever it is. Proverbs 27:20 says it so well. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Isn't that right? We always think the next thing will finally satisfy us, but of course it doesn't, so we have to have the next thing. The next pleasure, the next promotion, the next money, more thrills, more stuff. It's like hell. That's what the proverb is telling us. Hell never fills up and says, okay, that's enough, I'm happy now. And so the eyes of man, we are never satisfied with more stuff until Christ. In Christ, you have something better. Remember Jesus' discussion with the woman at the well? He said to her about the water in the well, he said, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. You don't take a great big huge drink of water and then you never have to drink again. And it's fascinating that he said this to a woman who was on her sixth attempt to find happiness in a guy. And every time she tried to find a guy who would finally satisfy her, she was disappointed. And she went on and tried someone else. She did not learn that satisfaction wasn't there in guys. So then Jesus said to her, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. Come to Jesus for living water, and your thirst is forever quenched. You can be done chasing the next pleasure, the next promotion, more money, more thrills, more stuff. You have everything that will satisfy. You already have it because you are in union with Christ. All the merit and infinite worth of Jesus Christ is the shared experience and possession of you. And God made you so that in Christ you would find full and final satisfaction. So you have complete satisfaction in Christ. Then you have complete blessing in Christ. Do you know, we are all tempted to be whiny Christians. And we would probably never say this on the outside, but do you ever think this? Boy, it's rough being a Christian. The world gets to have all the fun, do all the cool stuff, get everything they want, do whatever they want. We have to sacrifice and go to church on Sunday and be good and pretty much stay away from anything that's fun. It's like God's just up there making sure we won't have any fun or get any cool stuff. You ever find that whiny tendency in your heart? Ephesians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Ephesians 2:4 through 7, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Romans 8:17, "If we are children of God, we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." So you get everything that Christ gets. For all of eternity, God will pour out his kindness on you because you are in Christ. He deals with you like he deals with Christ. So you are richer than the world's richest man could ever dream of being. No more pity parties. Rejoice in your wealth. Enjoy your wealth because you are in Christ. You're rich. So those are some of the ways that I think union with Christ is practical. We've only touched on union with Christ. We've only touched on what that means for us practically. But I hope you can see how in Christ you have everything. And I trust that the Spirit is at work in your heart, helping you see how you can live in the reality of your riches in Christ. And we've briefly tried to touch on how these truths impact your temptations and your desires and your worries and your fears and your needs. But it'll take a lot of time. Just like with last week's message, it will take a lot of time for us to learn to live in the reality of our union with Christ. Life is complex. It is full of surprises. It is full of challenges. It's full of changes. Life is challenging enough without us making it any more challenging. But many Christians do make it more challenging for themselves. They have so many issues to face. How will we ever be good parents? How will our marriage work? How can I actually do what's right and please God? How can I get along with my family? How are we going to make ends meet? And on and on. And so they just run to any idea that seems like it might help. This book, this theory, this teacher, this video series, this diet, this counselor, this support group. They're going 50 different directions trying to handle life. And their life is just a blur of complexity and confusion. When for all of those challenges of life, they really need to just go one direction. They're already in Christ. They already have everything they need. So just go toward Christ. Love him. Listen to him. Live in the reality of him. Know him. Obey him. And it's going to be okay. You're in Christ. It's going to be okay. Focus on him. To be honest, I feel this temptation with a new church. It's an overwhelming thing to be part of a fairly new church, a church that's growing and changing rapidly. And there's a temptation to worry and stress. Am I being the right kind of a leader? Are we starting the right programs? Are we advertising the right way? Are we communicating rightly? Are we loving people like we should and serving like we should? Do we have the right style? Are we preaching and teaching too much this way or too much that way? How are we going to pay for this? Should we be doing A or B or C? What's going to happen when this happens, etc.? And I have to relax and say, if we just make Christ the main thing, it will be okay. If we exalt him and live in the reality of him and love the word so that we have the mind of Christ for this ministry, if we pursue the goal of being and making faithful followers of Christ, it'll be okay. There will be challenges and hard decisions to make and surprises. But we're in Christ. We're His body. Christ is in us. So there's no need to worry. No need to frantically scurry this way and that. We're in Christ. Live like it. Love it. Celebrate it. Enjoy it. Don't let the challenges of life steal the joy of your union with Christ.